The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The deal that made this possible was a feat of diplomacy and friendship. Friendship. Multiple countries helped get this done. They joined a difficult, complex negotiations at my request.
President Trump has said repeatedly that he could have gotten the hostages out without giving anything in exchange. What do you say to that? What do you say to President Trump now, former president?
Why didn't he do it when he was president?
Just, you know, I know it sounds like, you know, that's sort of a, you know, killer line. Of course, of the Americans that are free today, only Paul Whelan was in custody during the Trump administration. Eva Gerskovich wasn't. I mean, so it's fair to point that out.
People are happy to have these Americans home. And Donald Trump can't stand it because he's afraid someone else will get credit for it.
And it is a remarkable display of very effective and successful statecraft and diplomacy by the Biden-Harris administration.
And it came down to that. It really came down to the president's personal involvement, getting on the phone with these leaders and asking them to make these tough decisions. There's no way when you do a negotiation like this that you're not going to have to compromise. And now we had to ask allies and partners to compromise.
Is that countries do this not because there's some great incentive to do it, but because they can get away with it. They've seen time and again that they're able to take an American and extract something of value in return. And I don't think the response is to not do deals or not give concessions, but concurrent with trying to recover and free people who are currently being held, we have to raise the cost of doing this in the first place. At the moment, there's no cost to do it.
Yeah, look, I think it's an open question that precept is actually true, that negotiating a deal like this just encourages more hostage taking. The truth is, we haven't seen data that actually confirms that that's the case.
But let's be clear, this was a bad deal. It sets a bad precedent. It violates a rule too often violated that we don't swap for innocent American hostages. It's going to lay the groundwork for more Americans being used as bargaining chips. And it's happy for the individuals and their families, of course, but this is bad for the country. But it's a totally unfair and really immoral swap of innocent Americans for Russian criminals.
This is just an extraordinary testament to the importance of having a president who understands the power of diplomacy and understands the strength that rests in understanding the significance of diplomacy.
As more details come out regarding the prisoner swap with Russia, you see there, as John Bolton alluded to, that this is a lopsided swap. You're trading criminals. You're trading assassins for journalists. Journalists that Vladimir Putin knows. He knows they're innocent. He knows they're not spies. He knows they're not killers. And yet here comes this American-led coalition just handing over Putin's assassins. It really is a bad day for America. It's good for the families of those few that have returned to America, but it's a bad day for the nation. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the final show of this week. That's hard to believe. The show that sometimes gets promoted on Rumble, so we'll see what happens over the course of this weekend. Of course, you can watch the show live every weekday morning at 11:05 a.m. in the Central Time Zone of the United States. That's on TrumpetDaily.com, or, as I say, the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Leave us some comments. You can email the show, TD@thetrumpet.com. We appreciate your feedback anytime that you're willing to give it. I also should note that I believe it was this week that we kicked off with the Trumpet World. That'll be the sister program to this Trumpet Daily Show, Trumpet World, hosted by Richard Palmer over in our Edstone office. I think that comes to you twice a week, not 5 days. Maybe it'll go toward 5 days, not to make Mr. Palmer a little nervous. But you can certainly get a wider perspective of all of these prophetic events as they unfold day in and day out. You get so much of that, particularly with respect to Ephraim and Manasseh, or the United States, America under attack, as we cover so often. You can get that on this show, and you can get a lot more at Trumpet World. So I'm not sure if it has its own tab yet at thetrumpet.com, but if you go to the trumpet.com website, you can scroll down and enjoy the first episode of Trumpet World. So Putin comes away, and keep in mind, these people that say Donald Trump, he's cozying up to Putin. He's a stooge of Putin. Putin helped him win the 2016 election because he's compromised Donald Trump. These same people, they just surrender to Putin time and time again. You can go all the way back to the first and second term of Barack Obama. The spirit of appeasement, whether it's with Russia or the Middle East or Southeast Asia, you name it. You see the Obama doctrine on full display. And here it happens again. Putin coming out the big victor here. This is regarding the one that Putin wanted out the most. He was in a prison in Germany, I believe. This guy, Krasikov, convicted in August of 2019 for killing this long Russian name, a 40-year-old Georgian citizen who had fought Russian troops in Chechnya and later claimed asylum in Germany. It says this guy, who was murdered, he was gunned down from behind near Kleiner Tiergarten, a central Berlin park, with a silencer-fitted handgun. This happened just a couple years ago, I guess 4 or 5 years ago. Witnesses saw the gunman throw a bike, a gun, and a dark wig into the Spree River nearby. Police arrested him before he could escape on an electric scooter. It says, at his sentencing to life in prison in 2021, German judges said Krasikov had acted on the orders of Russian authorities, who gave him a false identity, passport, and the resources to carry out the killing. He's a trained assassin. He guns someone down in broad daylight in the middle of Berlin on the orders of Putin. Think about what this does. The message that this sends, there will be more kidnappings because Putin knows it generates this kind of a return. And furthermore, what does it do for the potential assassins in Moscow or in Russia? They're sitting there thinking, well, I can go into Europe or wherever and gun someone down in broad daylight. And I know Vladimir. He's got my back. He'll get me out of a life in prison sentence. That's what's happening here. Krasikov reportedly served in a special forces unit that belonged to the Federal Security Service, the top KGB successor agency. It says, for Putin, a KGB veteran, freeing Russian operatives is important for the success of future undercover missions, showing that Moscow would negotiate for the agent's release even if they are caught. So, a journalist, a Western journalist, he makes one misstep in and around Russia, he's going off to prison. Or show up with some marijuana like the basketball player did, and you go into the slammer, and you're only going to be released if we can get some Russian criminals back in return. What a sweet deal for Putin. For Putin. These people that cry, Russia, Russia, Russia. Vladimir Putin, he's dangerous. We've got to resist him. We've got to stand against him. Well, they didn't do that here, did they? And they haven't done it so many times before. Donald Trump pointed out, rightly, that if it's a complex prisoner swap, And you're getting all these Western nations involved. You know, Germany had to participate, and you don't quite understand it. He said, if it's complex, you know that we got fleeced. You know it. And he's right. He's right. He was at the debate saying, I'm going to get those prisoners back for nothing in return. Well, Joe Obama can make fun of Donald Trump all that they want. But as we begin to get into the details of the swap, this, as I say, it's a bad day for America. Very sad to see such weakness on display. And Richard Palmer, by the way, had a fair bit to say about it in this morning's trumpet brief. I'll get to that in a second. The Wall Street Journal, it says, even some supporters of negotiation believe the Biden administration has made concessions that go too far. He went too far. You know... There's a chilling article I'll get to at the end of this segment from Israel, the lopsided swaps that they're known to do and how that they let in some cases hundreds and in one swap, a thousand Palestinian prisoners out in return for one Israeli. And wouldn't you know, several of them, a few of them participated in the massacre on October 7th. It's important. I was even discussing this last evening. It's important that we take the long view. Of course, you want to see any American returning home or any Israeli returning home in Israel. But what about the next family that has one of its own kidnapped by Hamas, kidnapped by Putin, held in prison for another swap such as this? I mean, you look at what America's doing right now. Giving a plea bargain to the 9/11, the people that masterminded 9/11 of all things. No death sentence for them. If any crime against humanity deserved a death sentence, it would be that one. The Khalid Sheikh Mohammed guy? You can't put him to death? Evidently, you can't even get him on trial. As he sits down there at Guantanamo, which the Biden people want to close, by the way. What happens to all of these prisoners at Guantanamo? No wonder Joe Obama's been trying to empty it out. They want to close it down. Think about, too, the push, the urgency to let criminals, Russian assassins, terrorist masterminds out of prison, even as... here at home, they're working to put political opposition, our own Americans, in prison. Donald Trump, Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, the January 6th protester. Keep them in jail. Let them languish away in jail, in prison, in the gulag. Even as we return the Russian assassins to the Kremlin. That's upside down. That's Isaiah 5. This is what's happening in the United States right now. Is America under attack? I think it is. If you don't have a copy of that book, make sure that you call our operators today. The number is 1-866-930-3024. Never mind what the Obama people are out there saying, that this is somehow beating Russia. It's not. Sam was telling me this morning about this movie. I'm not sure how old it is. It's called Bridge of Spies. But the story, it's based on a true story. You had this Russian spy in America that Americans nabbed some time ago. I don't know the dates on all this. And then Russia captured an American pilot who was spying in Russia. And the whole movie is built around this swap. You know, one spy... for another spy, where at least it was fair. At least it wasn't lopsided. But then another thread of that story was that just all the blowback that came against that American spy for not killing himself when he was discovered in Russia. There was a time, back in the day, there was a time when you did that for your country. You didn't want to put your country in a difficult position where they had to, you know, swap for you, or where maybe you could give up through torture. You had to give up American secrets. The noble thing to do was to kill yourself so that you weren't compromised, so that you didn't compromise your country. Wow, have things changed since then? This is Richard Palmer's Morning Brief. America surrenders to evil yet again, releasing 8 Russian prisoners, including Vadim Krasikov, in exchange for 16 Western prisoners. Are any of these 16 Westerners criminals? Were they assassins? Were they spying even? Were they spying for America in Russia? No, they're just journalists, mostly minding their own business. And Putin knows what an asset this would be to nab one of those journalists. Mr. Palmer says 2 years ago, the Biden administration taught Russia that taking U.S. prisoners is a good way to get them to get what it wants. In December 2022, Biden released Victor Bout, the merchant of death, in exchange for the basketball player, Brittany Griner, who won't even stand and salute her own flag here in America, or at least she didn't at the time. Maybe her heart has softened, having spent time in a Russian prison. Maybe she's hopefully she's a little more thankful to be an American. The merchant of death in exchange for a basketball player that you have to question, really, her patriotism. That was 2022, and Putin, his eyes must have lit up at the time. Wow, I can get back the merchant of death or a trained assassin if I just nab one of these Americans that comes into Russia to play basketball, or that comes to Moscow so that they can report for their newspaper back home. Ben Dominic wrote at The Spectator that, quote, as much as this is a victory for humanity, it's also a reminder that what used to be the practice of squalid terror groups in Middle Eastern byways is now official policy for great powers. They do it because it works, and it works because America is weak. We've lost the pride we once had in our power. That's straight out of Leviticus 26. That's discussed in the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, the companion book, really, prophetically speaking, or at least on the subject of prophecy, to America Under Attack. This is Herbert Armstrong's classic text. He was writing the first versions of this back in the 1940s. The United States and Britain in Prophecy. Where do we fit in? You mean to say, as some suggest, that the single greatest superpower in the history of the world is nowhere mentioned in Prophecy? How foolish it would be to think that. All you need to understand is know where those lost 10 tribes migrated. Just figure that out, and then all of a sudden, the light bulb goes on. All of a sudden, you know exactly where we are in Prophecy. If you've got to be a student of prophetic text, a third of the Bible's prophecy. A third of it. And most of that is for these last days. We need to be students of Bible prophecy, for sure. America is weak. We've lost the pride in our power. We're spending our strength in vain. We're paying over $1 trillion a year just in interest payments because of all this quantitative easing, just printing money by the trillions. Yeah, the stock market has cratered the last 2 days, by the way. The bond market, interest rates going sky high. I mean, it's catching up with Joe Obama. You can only print money for so long before everything just collapses. And for a time, I mean, all they had to really hang their hat on was, well, but look at the stock market. It's booming. Yeah, but inflation's out of control. Yeah, but ordinary Americans are suffering. Interest rates are making it impossible to buy a house, to say nothing of the prices for the house. People are just giving up on the American dream. And now owning property, that is, owning a home, making your home, basically, your retirement savings. A lot of people can't do that anymore. They're just resigned to the fact that they're going to have to rent for the rest of their lives and not accumulate any assets to speak of. People are being hit hard by the Obama doctrine. Not the one abroad, is foreign policy doctrine, which has been a complete and total disaster. We'll spend more time on that here in a second. But what about the doctrine here at home? Open up the borders. Make sure you register them to vote like they're doing in Georgia. The illegals, make sure that they can vote. They can live in the shadows, that's fine, but they've got to be registered. And we've got to make sure there's no voter ID requirements because they're not legal. They're not legal, but we sure want them to vote. Open up the borders, print trillions and trillions of dollars for all these radical leftist pet projects. Just run the country into the ground. I mean, who cares? Obama and those people don't care. They're millionaires many times over. Inflation doesn't hurt them. Inflation doesn't hurt the talking heads on TV. This is that story from out of Israel. Sharansky knows this only too well. I'm picking it up in the middle here. He lives in a country, Israel, that in 2011 exchanged more than 1,000 prisoners for a single captured Israeli soldier, Gilad Shalit. 1,000 to 1. You think the one yesterday or the day before was bad for the United States? 1,000 to 1? Israel did it. Little Israel. Little Judah. This was Judah's wound on full display, right? It says here, among those released. Now listen to this, because it happened in 2011. Israel was happy. We got Shalit back home. Everything. Let's rejoice. Let's have a party. Among those released was a Palestinian terrorist named Yehia Sinwar. Sinwar would go on to orchestrate the massacre of October 7, 2023. I mean, it almost brings tears to your eyes to think about the long view here, and not even that long. To think about what this hardened terrorist who was in prison, to think about what he would go on to do just 12 years later, and how many Israeli families would suffer because of that prisoner swap. He would go on to orchestrate the massacre of October 7, 2023, along with more than 1,200 innocent people slaughtered and more than 250 stolen into captivity. That day were American citizens, including 5 who remain alive, and he gives the names of them. They've been held by Hamas for 300 days. So 5 American hostages, 5 families of Americans, still waiting. 300 days it's been. And the October 7 mastermind, he was let out of jail. He was let out of prison. And I'm sure America was there helping to make this to make this deal go through. Many people are bewildered, saying we are releasing murderers and spies, and they're being exchanged for innocent or even noble people, and that's unequal. It says more than that, the Russians are going to be motivated to kidnap more. They're going to be motivated, you can be sure. Hamas is going to be motivated. Hezbollah is going to be motivated. Iran is going to be motivated. If they can get this kind of a sweet payday in return, well, why wouldn't you go looking for Americans? As an American, I think you'd want to steer clear of Russia, Iran, Gaza. You watch, it'll be some, you know, bleeding heart liberal that goes into Gaza or goes into Iran and gets kidnapped. And maybe, like with the WNBA basketball player, maybe it'll help to wake them up. The enemies of America are being empowered, and the dear leader is helping to empower them. The dear leader wants to empower Iran. He had that as a, I mean, he wasn't even trying to conceal that his first and second term. This is from the other day, that plea deal with the 9/11 masterminds. Clip six.
Meanwhile, another big story this morning, the three masterminds behind the 9/11 terrorist attacks, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, will be spared the death penalty. They struck a deal with prosecutors, lawmakers, and families of 9/11 victims are slamming this deal after waiting nearly 24 years for justice. The New York Post editorial board out with this piece. With 9/11 deal, President Biden dishonors the victims of terror. Writing this now after having already dishonored the sacrifice of our troops with the disastrous pullout from Afghanistan, President Biden dishonors the memories of those slain on 9/11 by agreeing to a plea deal with terrorist mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. The KSM deal is just one more failure of an administration rife with them. Your reaction, Mark?
Well, look, we have an administration that has been soft on crime, and they are soft on terror as well. And if you think you're going to get anything different under a Kamala Harris administration, that's not going to happen. And not only, Maria, are they brokering plea deals for these three individuals, but I'm hearing that there are going to be others who are straight up released from Guantanamo.
Straight up released? Why would they want to do that? Why would they want to just empty out Guantanamo? Because they want to close Guantanamo. KJP said so yesterday, and they've only got a little time left to do it. Assuming Donald Trump happens to win, they've just got a few months here to empty out the prisons, even at Guantanamo. Listen to Jean-Pierre from yesterday, clip two.
Does the president still plan to close Guantanamo Bay Prison before he leaves office? And is there a realistic pathway to do that in the next 6 months?
That's still something that the president wants to do and get done, but it is something that he's determined to get done.
Oh, yeah, he's determined to get that done. Why? Think about the mindset. I know I said it a moment ago. The mindset of these traitors to release America's enemies and to incarcerate American patriots. America's being attacked from every direction, not just with releasing terrorists and imprisoning, you know, January 6 protesters, but also by just opening the border wide. I mean, Donald Trump was talking about this yesterday, these Venezuelan gang members. My father's talked about this in recent sermons. These are soldiers. These are Obama's soldiers. They're coming in and committing acts of violence and rape and murder. Listen to Donald Trump from the other day, clip five.
Just yesterday, it was reported that more than 1,000 members of the savage Venezuelan gang, Trendy Arguay, are plotting to conduct ambush attacks on police and law enforcement in the United States, all the while Harris and Biden sit in the White House and try and figure out who's dumber. On Sunday, in a separate incident, a Venezuelan illegal alien criminal let in the border by our border czar, Harris, shot a female police officer in Texas, you read about it, multiple times with a rifle. Thankfully, the officer is perhaps going to survive. They don't know yet, but probably. But most victims are not so lucky. In Texas last month, 12-year-old Jocelyn Nungari was tied up, sexually assaulted, and strangled to death by two illegal aliens who Biden and Harris released into the United States. If Border Czar Harris stays in charge, every single week will bring never-ending streams of illegal alien rapists, bloodthirsty killers and child predators to go after our sons and our daughters and our wives and our husbands.
Every single week, he says there. It's actually more like every day, as Sam keeps pointing out in the news stack. I mean, you could just run a campaign ad based upon another illegal alien raping another girl in Georgia, in Virginia, wherever it is. Trump should just produce a campaign video, a campaign ad, and name names. Americans are being brutally assaulted by Obama's foot soldiers right here at home. Abroad, well, just, hey, give the assassins back to Putin so that they can go back to work doing their thing, murdering people. Give the terrorists back to Hamas and let them mastermind October 7th. Strike a plea deal with Sheikh Mohammed, even though he murdered nearly 3,000 Americans. Just move on. Kamala Harris's foreign policy guru, it's a guy named Philip Gordon. He's an Obama acolyte. And he's responsible for some of the worst foreign policy disasters in American history. Helping Vladimir Putin get Crimea, the red line disaster with Assad in Syria, and of course the JCPOA. He was right at the heart of all of these disasters. And now he's Kamala's guru? Oh yes. The Washington Free Beacon says during Gordon's tenure at State, the reset with Russia was a major priority for the Obama administration. Putin had already attacked Georgia just months before the election, but the Obama administration was determined to give Putin another chance. Give the tyrants, the assassins, the murderers, the terrorists, give them another chance. No such love and empathy for American protesters, though. No second chance for them. Just put them in prison. Throw away the key. We've got to shut them up. We've got to send a message. We've got to send a message to MAGA. From Gordon's perspective, the reset yielded some significant benefits, such as new arms control agreement, a supply corridor to Afghanistan, etc. But by the end of his time at State, he and Hillary Clinton were warning Obama that the reset had failed and Putin was not interested in cooperation. They finally learned. They learned it the hard way. But it's kind of like, you know, the assassination attempt. Did he get fired? Did he get demoted? No, he's Kamala's guru now. They fail again, and then they get promoted. How do you turn this around? How do you fix what's broken? Having been fleeced by one autocrat, Gordon moved on to another. And as Obama entered his second term, he assigned Gordon, this is again Philip Gordon, the foreign policy guru. Gordon was assigned to the Middle East as the Syrian civil war became more brutal and Iran and Russia got their hooks into the country. Gordon realized that the Obama policy was failing. I'm someone who started to buck the trend on Syria early in the system, he later recalled. By that, he meant letting the Iranians and Russians win. Let the Iranians and the Russians win. These people that have all this tough talk when it comes to at least Russia, not Iran. But all of this tough talk, oh, Vladimir Putin, we've got to resist him in Ukraine. He's a madman. He's a tyrant. Well, yes, he is. But how about over here? How about in Syria? How about with the prisoner swap? Further on, it says here, Gordon was much more enthusiastic about the Iran nuclear deal. During his tenure on the NSC, he told the National Iranian American Council that, quote, a nuclear agreement with Iran could begin a multi-generational process that could lead to a new relationship between our countries. Wow. How naive. How stupid. He emboldened them. He empowered them. He helped to do it. And now, after one foreign policy failure after another, now he reappears. I mean, he's got Kamala's ear. He probably had some insights into the prisoner swap as well. All of these Obama people, all of these people that hate their country, all of these people that hate America, that love America's enemies, they hate America's traditional allies. We saw that on display for 8 years. in terms one and two for Obama. And here we are in term three. And it's the same old foreign policy. Just empower the enemy. Give them a second chance. Give them another opportunity to assassinate, to murder, to terrorize. And well, they do it. Look at the mastermind behind October 7. At one time, he was in prison, but he was let out with 999 other prisoners in exchange for one Israeli soldier who was kidnapped. What a payday that turned out to be for Iran's proxy in Gaza, Hamas, Hezbollah. Huge return. Kamala mania. In the midst of all of this, to hear these talking heads go on and on about Kamala's come along, and I mean, she's electrified the party, and she's the front runner, and Donald Trump's scared. Donald Trump doesn't know what to do. The narratives these people create, even as the nation goes up in flames, it is hard to believe. It's not even the first person you'll hear. I had a laugh out loud moment this morning as I listened to this lady who I've never seen. I don't recognize her. I don't know her name. But evidently she's in Congress and she's talking about, well, when I was traveling back to Michigan, I saw all these young people from the University of Michigan and they recognized me. The moment I realized she was lying about Kamala mania was when she said all of these young people recognized me. What? I don't recognize you. And I'm into the news every day. These people will lie about the tiniest of details. And they leave it somewhat vague here and there so that they can't be fact-checked. But they are lying. The Kamala crash is already happening, as Jesse Waters said last night. They got their little sugar high off her. But reality is setting in. The polls, honest polls, are beginning to show that there's very little difference between her and the fake president. Listen to clip one.
Airport flying to D.C. For votes, and the plane that landed ahead of me was full of University of Michigan students, and they all saw me, they recognized me, and they're like, Congresswoman, like, it's just so exciting, all our friends are registering, everyone's getting excited. That was my first taste that the energy had really shifted in the room.
Kamala Harris is the perfect person at this moment. We've got the kind of palpable excitement, the energy that we really need in the party to carry us to victory in November. And of course, Donald Trump is, I think, bewildered by it all. I don't know that he has any idea how to handle the excitement that's happening on the Democratic side or Kamala Harris herself. Let's face it, I think we've seen that he doesn't want to debate her. He's sort of afraid of her.
The lower Donald Trump gets in the polls, the more unhinged he is. He's unhinged right now. He's scared. You know, a leading Republican senator said to me in the gym this morning, not in the gym, in one of the rooms we were in, he said, we're going to lose because of this guy.
A triple eyebrow raise. What could this mean? Here's what J.D. Pritzker said about that.
Lollapalooza is happening this weekend.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say him being at Lollapalooza is weird.
No! Lollapalooza is for everyone.
Democrats at least have a sense of humor, a little bit of levity. Right now, life is kind of fun.
A little bit of levity for the Democrats. Life is so fun because Kamala is so popular. Wishful thinking of the highest order. This Issues and Insights piece. It's comment. I forget the we quoted from it actually. This left wing article that's basically saying, hey, Kamala needs to get out there and talk about her family roots. Yeah, I mean, her father's a communist. He's still a communist. This was right in the article, as if this was a selling point. And so here Issues and Insights comes along and says, I think that's a bad thing. That her mom and her dad are communists through and through? And he's starting to connect the dots with the Dear Leader, Frank Marshall Davis, Jeremiah Wright, now Kamala. Whether or not there's a huge divide between Obama and Biden, I mean, Kamala was the puppet that Obama preferred back in 2020, but nobody liked her. She wasn't qualified. She climbed the ladder, doing some pretty bad things, as I covered the other day. Who is Kamala's father? Says Donald, an 85-year-old Jamaican-born economist who is still a Marxist. Shouldn't this have stirred some skepticism long before she was even a U.S. senator? Not in Democratic circles. No, I mean, listen, John Brennan can vote communist in the 1970s and then later become the director of the CIA. He was right, Herbert Armstrong. The communist infiltration of the United States was prophesied. That's in our booklet. He was right. If you don't have that one, make sure you order a copy as well. It says here, Harris's mother, Shamala, Harris's biggest influence, also had revolutionary connections. She was mentioned as a friend who helped formulate the ideas, says Harper's Bazaar, for Cedric Robinson's Black Marxism, the making of the Black radical tradition. So now they come along. They're not only giddy because they're creating this false narrative that she's super duper popular, but they're also saying, right alongside that, they're saying she's super duper moderate as well. Like I say, they will lie about anything. Can you imagine if Donald, someone said this last night, I think on Fox News, if Trump came along and all of a sudden he said, you know what, we're not going to secure the border. We're just going to leave it open. I mean, that's the kind of flip-flopping Kamala's doing right now. She said all of these radical, extreme things all through her career, and now all of a sudden, she's just moderate. She's just down the middle. And of course, there's the regime media doing everything that they can to cover her tracks. Her history of being a Marxist. Harris wouldn't be the first president to have Marxist in her coconut tree and to have been shaped by their relatives' ideology. Both Barack Obama Sr. and Frank Marshall Davis, according to some, the real father of Barack Obama, were communists. Their input on his life explains why the younger Obama was a revolutionary Marxist in college who had to remake himself to fool voters enough to win both a state Senate and a U.S. Senate seat in Illinois. It's all being made known now, isn't it? People just couldn't believe it back in 2008. They just dismissed it. They just turned a blind eye to it. Nobody wanted to vet him because he was going to heal the racial divide. So he came in as a fake. He came in as a fraud. He came in just as it's described in the book of Daniel regarding Antiochus, through flatteries and deceit. He lies. It's so, you see it every day, and I know I've made the point before, but it's still, you're just kind of taken aback at times at how easy it is, not to just exaggerate a little bit, but to lie, to flat out lie. Yeah, all these young people got off the plane from the University of Michigan. They immediately recognized me. Who are you? That's like the journalist that was just shocked. He had a little sit down with Donald Trump. He comes back, this no-name author writing these weird books. You talk about weird. He's writing these books about The View, of all things. And then he's so offended 3 months later because Donald Trump didn't recognize him. And then here's this lady saying, yeah, I just walked through the airport and everybody recognizes me. No, actually, no. Nobody recognizes you. Nobody knows who you are. We got to call them out, right? While we know of no instance in which Harris repudiated the Marxism of her parents, we're not warning readers that she will become a Marxist dictator. but she does have an authoritarian streak. She's cut from the same cloth as the dear leader. The communists have taken over the Democrat Party, and the Democrats know. So they've got to conform if they want to keep moving up the ladder. I mean, lie to the American people, lie during debates, that sort of thing. But the radicals have control, obviously. It says here, Harris recently said that if Congress doesn't submit to her agenda during the first 100 days in office, I'm going to take executive action. I mean, that's almost word for word what the dear leader said. If you don't do what I tell you to do, then I'll go around you. I'll just do it myself. This is how communists operate. I told you yesterday how communists work with respect to rigging elections. Lying, cheating, stealing. I wanted to have enough time for this article. It's from the American Thinker. It just made me think about that classic quote about the Ten Commandments in Mystery of the Ages. But here, you know, you have a lot of talk in America at the moment about saving the country, saving America. Well, how do you go about saving it? You look at what we've covered in this segment with the prisoner swaps and empowering enemies and then all of our sins here at home and, you know, full-grown men, manly-looking men in the boxing ring with women at the Olympics. You know, just crushing a woman on the chin, pummeling her. And we're supposed to just look at all of this and say, I guess it's normal. I guess we're supposed to play along. This is just the way it works. The dear leader and Kamala support this madness. They promote this madness. Men smashing the face of a woman. Last I checked, that's domestic violence. Abuse. I mean, you talk about going off to prison or jail. That's what ought to happen to these men. But no, they roam the streets. They roam the Olympic Village. They keep beating women. Literally. And meanwhile, you know, we're looking to put political opposition behind bars here in the United States. It says here, this American Thinker piece, since the 1960s, America has pulled away ever harder from the Ten Commandments. That's a shame. It is a shame. It's a shame because the Eighth Commandment, you shall not steal, would make a great deal of difference to America's election integrity and our trust in America's institutions. So you can talk about making sure the machines don't do this and making, well, whether we should have drop boxes or mail-in ballots. But what are the root causes of cheating, of stealing? The root cause of that, that's human nature. It doesn't matter what mechanisms are in place. Unless you change human nature, unless you have, just like the founder said, if you aren't a religious and moral people, this is going to unravel. This is not going to work out. The American experiment will die. It says here, perhaps it is fitting that pundits are saying that the Democrats enacted a coup to remove Joe Biden from competing in the 2024 presidential race. After all, it was a coup in the 2020 election that got him installed in the White House in the first place. Communists know a few things about coups. Even John Bolton does. he's been involved in a coup or two. He brags about it. Besides the commandment stating, thou shalt not murder, the Eighth Commandment must also apply here. Not only to individuals, but to nations. Thou shalt not steal means our election process should be squeaky clean with polling places and ballot boxes devoid of tampering. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be special? American society in general, whether Christian or Jewish or not, has abided by the Ten Commandments in the past and must adhere to these basic tenets today. When one political party decides to break two of those rules to remain in power, every patriot must be willing to rise up and end the tyranny. How do you end the tyranny? Well, you get back to law keeping. You get back to the Ten Commandments. And listen, dear viewer, that time is coming. The King of Kings is about to return to this earth and establish the God family government in Jerusalem and uphold the Ten Commandments, God's law. It says here, of course, we need not and should not be violent in this conflict. As we learn from Scripture, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. We can express our displeasure passionately but peacefully within the scope of the law. Or will we sit back and let the stealing of an election, or even the possibility that we will hold to look the other way while a political rival is murdered, be the new norm in our previously great constitutional republic? As I say, it just makes me think of this quote, classic quote from Mystery of the Ages. If you don't have a copy of that book, too, we offer it freely, without cost, without obligation. Mr. Armstrong says here, can you realize that every unhappiness, every evil that has come to humanity has been the result of transgressing God's law? Sin is the transgression of God's law. 1 John 3:4. He says, if no one ever had any other God before, the true God, if all children were reared to honor, respect, and obey their parents, and all parents reared their children in God's ways, if no one ever allowed the spirit of murder to enter his heart, if there were no wars, no killing of humans by humans, if all marriages were kept happy and there were no transgressions of chastity before or after marriage, if all had so much concern for the good and welfare of others, no one would steal, and we could throw away all locks, keys, and safes. If everyone told the truth, everyone's word was good, everyone were honest, if no one ever coveted what was not rightfully his, but had so much ongoing concern for the welfare of others that he really believed it's more blessed to give than to receive, what a happy world we would have. Happy for us, that happy world is coming, and soon. Wanted to leave a few minutes so that we could conclude today's show with our weekly installment of World Watch. I think we'll probably take you over time by a minute or so, but hopefully you don't mind that extra time to spend on this program, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and enjoy World Watch.
Fear of Russian aggression has caused many European nations to expand or reintroduce mandatory military service. Robert Hamilton, head of Eurasia Research at the Foreign Policy Research Institute, said in statements published on July 21st. Norway announced plans in April to almost double its defense budget and add 20,000 conscripts. Latvia implemented compulsory military service in January after abolishing the practice in 2006. German Defense Minister Boris Pistorius presented a plan in June for expanded voluntary military service, saying, "We must be ready for war by 2029. Several other European nations that don't currently require military service are debating whether to begin. In 2014, shortly after Russia annexed Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula, Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Fleury said that Russian aggression would prompt Europe to militarize and unify. Today, Russia's ongoing full-scale war on Ukraine is prompting Europeans to take steps to bolster their military power and to unify Europe militarily. To learn more, read "The Crimean Crisis is Reshaping Europe." Many of the components of Iranian drones used to attack Israel were made in the United States, exposing a deep flaw in U.S. sanctions against Iran, according to an investigative letter sent by Senator Ted Cruz to the White House on July 22nd. In 2022, the U.S. formed an expansive task force to investigate how U.S. components were being used in Iranian weaponry. Yet Senator Cruz found that there has not been a single published update, report, or announcement since the task force's formation. Apparently, U.S. officials are working to restrict access to such components, but there is little evidence to prove these efforts are effective. Iran and its proxies are using drones with U.S.-made parts in their war against Israel and in drone campaigns against U.S. targets in the Middle East, and it is all happening under the nose of the current U.S. administration. To learn more about why the U.S. is allowing this to happen, read Obama and the King of the South from our free booklet, The King of the South. 12 Israeli children were killed and dozens more wounded on a soccer field after Hezbollah fired a rocket into a Druze community in the Golan Heights on July 27th. This is the highest number of Israeli civilian casualties since October 7, 2023. Hezbollah denied responsibility for the attack even though the Iran-made rocket was fired from southern Lebanon. On July 28th, Israel's Security Cabinet authorized Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to decide on the manner and timing of Israel's response. That same day, several targets in southern Lebanon were hit, with an additional airstrike the next day that killed two people and wounded three. While it is not in Israel's interests to spread conflict in the Middle East, Foreign Minister Israel Katz said, "We are nearing the moment in which we face an all-out war." To learn more about the future of this Middle East crisis, read, "Will Hezbollah join the war against Israel?" To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.